Welcome to another edition of In Focus. It is Wednesday, and that means it's time for our weekly house call with Dr. Lena Lee, the Medical Officer of Health for the Leeds, Grenville, and Lanark District Health Unit. Dr. Lee, welcome back.
Hello again.
Good to have you here. And we will start, as we do every week, with an update on the respiratory virus season. How are things looking now in Lanark, Leeds, and Grenville?
They're actually looking still quite good. So our COVID-19 numbers are continuing to be relatively low. I should say, actually, though, that if people are keen-eyed and looking from at our website from home, people will see that the COVID-19 numbers, transmission numbers, seem to be falling a little bit. And I would rather call it stable. If you actually separate the numbers out, what's happening is the number of COVID-19 cases in the general population is stable or maybe even rising a little bit. And what's fallen is actually our number of cases in long-term care homes and retirement homes, which is certainly a positive. When people not living in those settings are looking at those numbers, then really, you know, it's the overall numbers are a little bit misleading because it includes the long-term care home and retirement home residents. In terms of the non-COVID-19 respiratory virus, we continue to have very little flu in our area. We have had one flu B case so far in our region all season, and we are seeing the transmission of flu B in other parts of the world and certainly in Ontario as well. And so that is a slightly different flu strain than what was circulating previously before Christmas, and that was flu A. In terms of what that means in general, as long as the numbers stay low, which is where it is right now, then it's certainly not concerning. And then for other respiratory viruses, we do continue to have those rhino and enterovirus and RSV and seasonal coronavirus, which is unrelated to COVID-19, and human metapneumovirus. Those are circulating, but still at low numbers. And so we're, I think, in fairly good shape right now for that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's what we were hoping when we were speaking last week, that, you know, we'd continue down this path. Now,
absolutely.
When it comes to COVID, we know that there's been some recent news in the U.S. about the risk of strokes associated with the COVID vaccine. Early days on this one, right?
Yeah, and I really wanted to talk about this week because it is certainly in the news. I've certainly gotten lots of questions from my own friends and family, and so I know that people are wondering and asking. So really, a few things to note. One is that it is specifically about the bivalent Pfizer vaccine, so not the monovalent vaccine from Pfizer, and not the other vaccines, including not Moderna. The other thing to know is that, so it's a US-based tracking system for adverse events following immunization, which we often call shortened to AFI. This particular system tracking AFIs has raised the question of whether there's a higher risk of strokes due to clots in the brain. And what happens for this sort of, so there's three major AFI detection systems in the US. This is just one of them. This is the one that's based in hospitals. It is a very early signal detector, but because it's so early, it sometimes overcalls signal. And so what we're trying to look at right now, I should say not we as in Canada, but very much in the US, what they're looking at right now is whether that signal does sort of get confirmed through the other AFI systems, of which there are three. And so far, they're seeing no signal in the other AFI systems. And they're also looking at that AFI, so the system that triggered the signal, to see whether the signal is real. And so far, that information we don't have yet. A few other things to mention. So AFI reporting, so adverse events following immunization, again, that's what AFI stands for. That reporting is really, really international because sometimes the signal is really, really faint. You know, just one country and one system probably doesn't give us all the information we need. And so we look at the US, we look at Europe, we look at other regions and other countries. And what we're seeing, especially out of other Canadian AFI reporting systems and out of the European systems, is that there is no signal for strokes, including strokes from blood clots. And so that's also reassuring. So really what we're seeing is one system in the US, and no systems in other parts of the world. So if there is signal, if there is an increased risk of stroke, then the increased risk is very small. And the reason I feel confident that it's small is because if it were large, we would have seen it in other countries, in other systems, and we're not seeing that. And so the other thing I want to mention is, again, because this is an early detection system, it is more likely to overcall signal. And so it is possible as well that there is no signal there. Sometimes what happens is, you know, there's a bit of a clustering of just by chance alone, right? So sometimes there's more cases of certain things than you would expect, and that would trigger the signal. But then when you actually look at it over time, so, you know, you might say, well, over a 1 month period, you have more than you expect, but then over the other months, you had slightly less than you expected, and it all sort of averages out to be what you expect. And so we don't know yet whether that's what's happening here or if there's something else going on. And so I wanted to talk about this to help people understand the specific extent of what's going on, so that I think people sometimes have been very concerned or don't know whether they should be concerned. I would say my bottom line is I'm certainly not concerned right now. It's not something that I think, you know, there's been very clear information from both the US and Canada that there's no change in the vaccine recommendations based on this information. I would totally agree with that based on how early things are and how limited the signal is right now. It's not clear to me that there really is something going on at all. Further investigation to come. But for now, if you've received the bivalent Pfizer vaccine and you've not had an adverse event, if you've received it beyond 1 month ago, you're not going to get the adverse event related to COVID-19 vaccination. And if you're sort of in the position of thinking about whether you should get the bivalent Pfizer vaccine in particular, feel free. I myself would feel very confident telling my loved ones and my friends to go get that bivalent Pfizer vaccine. I myself am not eligible for a vaccine yet, but if I were, then I would not hesitate to get that vaccine. At this point, we're not at that level of worry. And if things change, we'll certainly let people know.
Yes. And of course, we want people to know that, you know, this basically people are going to hear the media and say, certain media, not us, but they will say, I just heard that the COVID-19 vaccines, the bivalent ones, cause strokes. And I really hope people listen to what you just said, because that is certainly not the truth. So definitely something that we will revisit, you know, should numbers change and so on. But as you said right now, if you're not worried, I'm not worried. And I hope our listeners feel the same way. Now, we're going to change gears a little bit here, because there's a couple other things that we want to talk about. One of them, we just thought that, you know, with all this snow coming again, that we should take a look at, you've been great, by the way, when we have these storms coming. Last time we talked about different things like, you know, preserving food in case the lights go out, the power goes out for an extended period of time. But one of the things that we wanted to talk about as this one's coming, because they're saying this one's going to have a lot of heavy snow. So, of course, people are going to be out there shoveling. And we always hear about people talking about, you know, avoid a heart attack while shoveling and so on. But there's other injuries that you need to keep in mind as well, because this is a physical activity where in some cases you're lifting some pretty hefty weights. So you thought you would share some tips to help our listeners get through and literally dig out of this storm as it and after it hits.
Yeah, so I really, really want to emphasize that this is physical activity, right? So if people are thinking, you know, how are we getting our physical activity over the next little bit? Well, you know, clearing the snow is definitely it. So whether you're clearing it from your car or other things around the house, or whether you're clearing it from the driveway or the sidewalk, these snow is heavy. And it's a lot. So one thing that I wanted to point out was the snow. If you look at a two-car driveway, the numbers are that you're shoveling about 10 to 15,000 pounds of snow potentially from a snowfall. And if you're looking at about 10 pounds a shovel full of snow, it's really 1,000 to 1,500 times that you have to shovel things. Like it's a lot of snow to clear. And that's really important to think about when you're thinking about, well, what does it mean to have a safe and sort of health conscious approach to shoveling snow. One of the really important things is that you want to really approach it like it's lifting weights, right? So you want to be careful. Really important things is lifting from or bending from the knees, and keeping your back straight, especially your lower back. I think one of the things about shoveling snow is that you're sort of, you don't necessarily think of it as being so heavy, because every shovelful isn't necessarily that heavy, but it's that accumulation over time. So some things to avoid, because there are definitely potential mistakes, is if you only turn your upper body when you put the snow down. Instead, you should really be turning your whole body. So put on those really good quality boots or something that gives you grip. And instead of twisting your body, you really should be taking those steps to turn your entire body to move the snow. The other thing is, again, keeping your knees straight when you're lifting that full shovel, right? Like, so you want to avoid that. Really, you should be bending your knees and keeping your back straight. The other thing is taking big shovelfuls of snow. So instead, really try to think about taking smaller shovelfuls of snow. It does take longer. I myself am clearing snow off of our driveway as well, and one of the things is sort of trying to balance having this big heavy shovel so that you don't have to do it as much and do all those steps, but then on the other hand, not taking so many big shovelfuls that, you know, snow is falling off, the shovel is tipping over, and also importantly for your back especially, having those big shovelfuls of snow is actually difficult for your back. So just taking smaller amounts of snow. Try to avoid tossing the snow over your shoulder. Really try to shovel it, ideally actually just on the ground so that it's out of the way, but not lifting it too much because that's where the weight is coming from. But then if you're lifting it forward, not behind you, and certainly not over your shoulder where you could actually twist your back in a way that can affect your back. Try to do it over several sessions, right? Give yourself a bit of rest in between shoveling sessions. If you're feeling a little bit short of breath, or you know, even if sometimes I myself in the position where you're like, oh, I'm kind of close to done, so I may as well just push through. For something like Your health, and especially for your back, just take that rest. Take that rest. It's always like, I don't know if others are in the same, but it always takes slightly longer than you think. You get to the end of that particular chunk and then you think, oh, but like, also I need to go back and do this other thing. And so take that rest, and finish later. And try not to be in a hurry when you're doing it. So if you have somewhere to go, then put that snow shoveling time, into your schedule, right? Like, do it beforehand, do it early, double the time that you need, that you think it's going to take, in order to shovel the snow, to actually take the time to do it, and do it in a way that won't injure yourself. And then also remember to bundle up and wear the right clothing, right? So this is twofold. One is making sure that you have the jackets and especially the gloves that you'll need for shoveling. But then also, as you're doing the exercise, again, it really is exercise. So wearing layers so that you're not overheating, that will help certainly. You know, for people with heart issues, not overheating is important, but then also it'll help you feel comfortable and stay comfortable so that you feel like the shoveling is not so onerous a situation.
Yeah, we all know what that's like too, because like I like to go out even if it's still snowing and get some of it off there, because it does. I mean, you're going to be
you have the same opinion as my husband. The opposite opinion,
we can go head to head on this one, doctor, because I'll tell you, I mean, I just find it easier to do that. But it, you know, you make a good point there about it being like a workout, because you wouldn't take like somebody, the average person who doesn't go to the gym on a regular basis, and say, okay, you're going to go out there and lift 10 pound weights for an hour and 45 minutes in the gym. You know, they're going to look at you like you're crazy, but that's essentially what they're doing as they head out there, right? So that's something that they certainly need to avoid. Now, we did mention heart attacks and you know, the risk of that. Maybe you could go over quickly for us just some of the things to look for if it is something that you are concerned about as you head out to do that shoveling.
Yeah. So a few things to mention. People who are at higher risk of heart disease or heart attacks are at higher risk of having one when they're shoveling snow. Like you said, Bob, it really is, you know, that exercise, right? And we, as we know, exercise can be a trigger for people to have heart attacks or you know, what's sometimes called a mini heart attack or angina, and chest pain. So things to keep in mind is, if you have chest pain, especially sometimes characterized as squeezing chest pain, difficulty breathing, you have abdominal or back pain, if you have cold, sweaty skin, or you're feeling like you're getting cold sweats coming on, skin that is feeling paler or cooler, even bluish, oftentimes, you know, you may not see that, but someone else might see that. Mm-hmm. If you have nausea and vomiting, or if you're feeling really crummy, as well, you know, sometimes chest pain and the symptoms of heart attack may be a little bit unexpected. So if people are looking confused, or if you're feeling confused, if you're feeling a sense of impending doom, which is how it's described, sometimes people feel that sense. Those are all important signals of potential heart attack. The really important thing that I want to emphasize is not to get to that point, right? So if you're having those symptoms, certainly it's really important to seek medical care, especially if it gets worse when you're shoveling snow and then it slightly improves, or even if it doesn't improve after you stop. The other thing to keep in mind is the way to prevent this is to take that time. Take the lighter loads, you know, give yourself rest in between. That's really important. And then lastly, I think, you know, as hard it is as it is sometimes if the snow is really bad, even if you have obligations or things that you really strongly want to go to, if it's going to be a problem to shovel the snow, to clear the driveway, to safely get out, then consider not doing that event outside of the home, right? So I think that's also something I myself think about frequently, is if you were planning to get that grocery trip done, you know, maybe delaying for a couple of days. If there's a social event, sometimes you have to cancel, and that's because the snow really can be a challenge, not just for, you know, safely being on the roads, but even getting yourself out there. And delaying, canceling, those are things that I think are part and parcel to living in Canada. And unfortunately, when the snow is bad, sometimes that's something to consider.
Absolutely. Well, those are all, you know, great tips, and especially with the snow that's coming right now, Doctor, I think that it's important that we issue those reminders. And again, like, you know, people, when they start to experience something that's different, and you've talked to us about this before, when something's different, when you know something isn't right, then that's maybe when you say to yourself, okay, I need a break. I need to sort of slow down here and make sure everything's okay, instead of saying, ah, this will pass.
Yeah, and I'll even give you one further than that. Don't get to that point, right? Like,
yeah,
as much as possible, if you're like, plan the breaks, give yourself time in a way that you're not reacting to signals to your body. So definitely keep your attention on signals from your body, right? Make sure that you're trying to consider whether you're feeling tired, whether you're feeling unwell, but also to prevent that point by sort of pre-thinking about when you'll take a break. Sometimes for some people that might be, you know, I'll shovel for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and then I'll take a break and pre-schedule that. Or for some people it might be, you know, I'll do this section of the driveway, so, or I'll do like this many shovelfuls and then I'll take a break. Sometimes it's even as simple as, like, you don't have to sit down or go inside, even as simple as I'm going to do, like, my routine is I do 5 shovelfuls of snow, and then I take a bit of a rest, and then, you know, just look around. And even, you know, a couple of beats, a couple of breaths, just to let your body recover. And then also in that time, thinking about, you know, have I been doing those things, like twisting my back or lifting too much? You know, checking in on yourself periodically. Those are really important things to consider. The other thing I wanted to mention is keeping an eye on the people who are, so my husband and I usually clear the driveway together and sort of keep each other on track. And so, you know, I keep an eye on him, he keeps an eye on me, on taking a break. We encourage each other that way. And that's a way to help, especially if you're shoveling snow with your kids or other people in your family. And then the last thing I want to mention is for people who are living close to your neighbors and are thinking about clearing snow for your neighbors, also just keeping an eye on each other. You know, we've been talking about snow, but it's also if the power goes out, if there's things that people are canceling events for, you know, if they're not getting groceries and they're short a little bit of something, then, you know, keeping an eye on each other and being part of the neighborhood and community that you're in, those are also important things to consider, you know, in the snowstorm as well as any other sort of major weather events that we get.
Yeah, exactly. Look out for one another. Everything that you've said here has been incredibly great advice, Doctor. We appreciate it. Well, except for waiting until all the snow's down. You got to do it as it's falling. You did anyway.
But then you do it twice, and then, like,
but it's anyway. Not as heavy.
It's true.
Okay. Yep. We're not going to fight about this. I like you too much. Okay. So we appreciate it as always, Dr. Lee. Thank you so much for stopping by. We look forward to our conversation with you next week as well.
Thank you, Bob.
Dr. Lena Lee, Medical Officer of Health with the Leeds, Grenville, and Lanark District Health Unit, has been our guest here, as she is every Wednesday. We'll have another guest for you tomorrow, right here on In Focus.